I know we're just a little bit early, but I can't stand to sit down anymore. Maybe we can sing a couple of songs together. Which one do you have? Number 40? 46.
Let me be
state of Pennsylvania, there's a place where they have a fountain. What's a fountain? A place where you get water. You know, the people that own the fountain, they have a sign by that fountain. And it says, free water, all the water you can drink, free. But you have to buy a penny. Now, is that free? No, boys and girls, if I have to bring something or do something and I can't do it, then it's not for me. Okay, who's got another one? Number 4.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me.
Savior of sinners, Savior.
sinners like me. Shedding his blood for my ransom, this is the Savior for me.
I want to ask a question. Who ever asked the Lord Jesus to shed his precious blood for us? Who ever asked the Lord to shed his precious blood for us? That's right. It was God who asked the Lord Jesus to shed his precious blood for us. It says in Hebrews, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will. Oh, what a Savior he is. He didn't turn back. He came all the way to us. Number 41.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems bring, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. In shining robes of spotless white, each one will be arrayed, dwelling in everlasting light and joy that never fades. Singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high.
What brings them to that world above that heaven so bright and fair,
where all is peace and joy and love? How came those children there, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high?
Because the Savior shed his blood to purge away their sin,
thou wash in that most precious blood, behold them white and clean, singing glory, glory, glory be to God. Which one?
40.
We just sang that one, didn't we? Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're right. Okay.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible. Jesus was my
girls, I want to ask a question. That is, it's a hard question for both the boys and girls, but maybe we can explain it a little bit. And that is, what is a legacy? What is a legacy? You know, sometimes when people die, they leave a legacy. They leave an inheritance. You know, some inheritances that some people leave are very bad. One time I read about Adolf Hitler. And you children are too small to remember about Adolf Hitler. But you know, what was said about this was Hitler's happy legacy. Now you know, Hitler plunged the world into a terrible war. And millions of people were killed. And I looked at that and I blinked my eyes. What could be happy about that? Well, they were talking about Volkswagen. They were talking about cars that people could drive around, and it was a happy thing. Many people bought those cars and they thought they were just wonderful. But you know, anyway, there are people that leave legacies even when they're alive. You know, some people, they might be born with a crooked nose, and you know, they go to the doctor, and the doctor, he operates on the nose, and he straightens it up. But you know, they might have children. And you know, children are much like their parents. You know, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. But before we do, let's pray. Blessed God and Father, we look to Thee and ask Thy help as we speak to the children and to one another too about what we are and about what Thou art and who Thou art. And Lord, we ask Thy help. We ask Thy blessing, and we would give Thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, you know, if somebody is born with a crooked nose, they go to the doctor and the doctor, he operates and he straightens that nose out. But you know, sometimes you say, well, you know, those children, they look just like their parents. And they're born into the family and they might have a crooked nose too. And so they have to go to the doctor too to get their nose straightened out. I know this is kind of sounds funny, but you know, there's something that is so more serious than all that. We're going to talk and read a few verses about that. You know, boys and girls, we think, well, if we could start over again, we could maybe do better the next time and we wouldn't have to be sinners. Boys and girls, you know, as we get older, we find out more and more what we're made out of. We come to Sunday school to hear about ourselves as being sinners, and that's not nice. It's not happy to hear about that. You know, boys and girls, there's a Savior. And that's what we want to talk about too this morning. Well, let's read a few verses in Romans chapter 5. We're going to read a legacy that you and I have, and it's a legacy that you and I cannot do anything about to help ourselves before God. It's a solemn thing to stand before God and be a sinner in His sight. A God before whom the heavens are not clean in His sight. A thrice holy God. Boys and girls, you know we're all in the presence of God. God knows every movement of our heart. We heard that last night. There's nothing hid from God. You cannot hide things. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God no matter where you go. How solemn that is. Romans 5:17, we'll read a little bit about the legacy that we have in Adam. We read, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," verse 18, "therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation." Oh, how solemn that is. Now verse 19 it says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Boys and girls, you know we would like to clean ourselves up before God. And there's many an effort made by our hearts to fix ourselves up so that we might stand before God. Are you trying to do that? You know, it's no use. It's absolutely no use. We can't do it. We might try until we find out that we are helpless before God to clean ourselves up. But you know, we read about the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You know, in this country we celebrate the 4th of July, and what day is that? Tell me a little bit about 4th of July. What do they call that day? Can anybody tell me what they call the 4th of July? Can you tell me what they call it? You know, it's kind of a difficult question, but it's called another day. What? Independence Day, that's right. Boys and girls, you know, independence was the worst thing that ever happened to Adam's race. Because in independence, boys and girls, men and women became, you know, they inherited something from Adam that was hatred toward God and fear of God. You know, Adam, he tried to fix that up by doing something in his independence. What did he do? He got a needle and a thread, and he started sewing himself a garment. He tried to fix himself up a garment that he could stand in God's presence, and it didn't work. When the presence of the Lord came, what did he do? He ran and hid in the woods, he and his wife. You know, it didn't hide them from Saul. So boys and girls, how solemn it is. You and I are sinners in God's sight. An independent seeking to run away from God to hide from him. God, he, of his own free will, gave the darling of his bosom to be crucified on a cross so that you and I might have a hiding place from the wrath of God that's revealed against him. Oh, he did it in India. Thank God for the independence of God. So I'd like to look at a verse, and we're going to talk about a verse that you all know. In fact, I think I could point to this little girl right here, and you could tell me that verse. Can you tell me John 3:16? You don't know it? Well, you'll learn it. Who knows that? Can you stand up and tell me that verse? All right, that sounds good. I'd like to look at this verse and talk a little bit about this verse. We'll take the first word, two words of that verse. For God, the greatest being that ever was or is. The greatest being that ever is. For God, the greatest being that ever is. Next words we read. So love. The greatest love that ever was. A love that could reach down to save sinners that had gone in rebellion against himself. You know, there's someone who said, it's kind of hard to know how to take that greatest love. Does it mean the quantity of that love? Or does it mean the manner of that love? I believe we can say it means both. The quantity of it was so much that he could give the darling of his bosom to come down into this world for the likes of you and me. You know, I heard a brother one time preaching about the love of a patriot for his country and how that during the war, the patriots, they would get on the trains and sing about their love for their country. And they went forth into battle in the face of machine gun fire. They said their kilts were lined all over the barbed wire fences. They died there for their country. They loved their country. He spoke about the love of a mother for her child, he said. There was a mother who had her baby, her wee wane, on her back. And she was going through the woods and then over a hill in Scotland to another place, and a storm overcame her. She had her baby in her arms, and the storm was getting worse, and she couldn't find her way anymore. And what did she do? She took her baby off from her, and she wrapped it up in her coat, and then she got down in the snow, and there she was. She loved that baby so much that she took her own clothes off and wrapped that baby up so the baby would live. The next morning they found her, and the mother was dead, but the baby was alive. She gave her life for her baby. You know, he told about the love of martyrs for their God and how Mary, Queen of Scots, were persecuting the Christians. And she took the fathers and the mothers and she lined them up in the river where the tide was coming up. And they could all go free if they would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the father saw his children being drowned one after another. They loved their God. They wouldn't go free. They wouldn't deny him who died for them. But then he told about the love of God toward rebel sinners. My friend, you know, God's love is toward us even when we hated him. Boys and girls, you may not know what's in your heart yet, but God loves you. God has given the darling of his bosom to be a savior for you. That's how much he loves you. You know, someone has said, well, what about the manner of the love of God toward us? There's a, in chapter 3 of Hosea, we read these words. Go to, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of God toward the children of Israel, who love other gods and flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. Oh, what kind of a love was that? It was a love towards somebody who didn't care about them. Oh, who hated God. You know, we read in Luke, the end of Luke's gospel. Verse 47 of chapter 24. Verse 46, 47, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, that city that cast out Christ, the very city that took the Lord Jesus and nailed him to the cross, that was where they were supposed to begin to preach forgiveness of sins in his name. There was an Italian brother one time who went to Italy, and he preached to the children, and he says to the children, he says, what kind of soldiers was it that crucified the Lord Jesus? The children looked up at him and said, Italian soldiers. Italian soldiers. All boys and girls, as we grow older, we find out what's in this heart of ours. Oh, what an awesome thing it is. But you know, what we find in our hearts has not stopped God. Oh, thank God for that. It's not stopped God. Thank God for that. And so we read those lovely words, so loved the world. The world. And here we find the greatest company of people that is the world, for God so loved the world. Sometimes we might think that it's God loved a special class of people in the world. Maybe it was those who dress up nicely for Sunday school. Maybe it's those who learn their Bible verses. Maybe it's those who are respectable respectful to their parents. And all these things are right and good. But no, it doesn't say that. It says he loved the world. And that takes me. Thank God for that. That he gave. That he gave. Oh, it was the greatest act that he could do. He gave his son. And he was willing to come. Thank God that he came. Thank God that he gave him. So, we read in Romans 4, if we believe on him. Says if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Oh, that's what he was given to. He was given to die. He was given to die. And it was God who gave him to die. What love is like that? His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. God did not have two sons to give. One time I was in a shoemaker's shop and he fixed my shoes, and as he gave them to me, I quoted John 3:16 to him, and he said, you know, if I had a son, I wouldn't give him for the likes of a world like this. And I think he's right. I wouldn't give my son. I have two sons, and I wouldn't give him for the like of a world like this. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Boys and girls, there could be no greater gift than that. That whosoever, boys and girls, think of it. That's the widest invitation. There could be no wider invitation than that. That you, or I, or anybody that wants to, believe on him. Oh, thank God. He's opened the door wide. The Lord Jesus could say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Are you inside or are you outside that door today? I'd like to tell you something about that door. That door is open today. It was opened by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The door is open today. One day it'll be shut. Outside or inside? Or are you outside? That whosoever believeth in him. Believeth in him. Oh, the simplest remedy. The simplest remedy. You know, it's not necessarily the easiest. In a certain sense, it's easy. But you know, boys and girls, we like to look at ourselves and make ourselves fit to come in. You know, there's no fitness that we can make to come in. All our fitness lies in the Blessed One who is prepared. Prepare the way to go to them. Should not perish. The greatest deliverance. Oh, Oh, there's nothing so solemn as to think of souls perishing. You know, there was a little boy in Ireland one time, and they found him behind the door, and he was crying. He was crying. And they said, "What's the matter, laddie?" And he said, "I hear the tramp, tramp, tramp of sinners on their way to hell." How solemn to perish. But have everlasting life. But have everlasting life. The greatest possession. The greatest possession. You know, you might be poor. You might be sick. You might be dying. But if you've got everlasting life, you've got everything. Everything in the Lord Jesus. You know, we are now in a place that this story that I'm going to tell about happened. There was one time a Swedish family that came from Sweden. They immigrated to this country, and they came west. Now, to us Westerners, it doesn't seem very far west out here. It seems like back east. But this family, they settled in this country here, and they started to farm. You know, there are many beautiful farms here. But you know, everybody's going to leave these farms someday. But this Swedish father and mother, they worked hard to provide for their children, provide a place that they could make a living and make a go of it in this new country. But the father, he worked so hard that finally he got sick. And after a while, he died. You know, the mother, she had to work hard anyway. And she worked hard to help to get the crops in and do this and that. Winter was coming on. She got sick and she died. And this little boy who was their son, he didn't know what to do. Winter was coming on. And he thought, "Well, if I stay here, I'm going to die. Because winter's coming and I can't take care of myself." And he says, "You know, my uncle, he lives in Chicago. I think I'm going to get on the train and go see him and have him take care of me." So this boy, he went down to the railroad station. And you know, pretty soon, he heard the train coming. The train came into the station, and you know, there were people that got off the train, and people got on the train. Pretty soon, he watched everybody, and pretty soon he heard somebody say, "All aboard! All aboard!" You know, that man, he's telling me to get on. And you know, he got on the train. Soon the engine started up. To Chicago they were going. Boys and girls, there was something he didn't recognize or didn't know about. And what was that? Can you tell me? What didn't he have when he got on the train? Didn't have a ticket. That's right. Pretty soon the conductor came around and he said, "Where's your ticket?" Then he touched the ticket, gave it back to the person. To the little boy. The little boy, he says, "Where's your ticket?"
He says, I don't have a ticket. I don't have a ticket. And the conductor says, you little cheat, you. He says, you get off this train at the next stop. You can't get on here without a ticket, without paying the fare. Okay. He got off the train. There. Not knowing what to do. People got off the train with him. Other people got on the train. Pretty soon, he heard the words, all aboard! All aboard! Saying he's telling everybody to get on. So he got back on. You know, he took it as an invitation. That conductor, he said one thing, but he didn't mean it altogether that way. The boy understood it. And he didn't have the money to pay the fare, but he got on again and he sat in the seat. The conductor came around again. He says, what are you doing here? You said to get on, mister. You said to get on. Here I am. He says, well, where's your ticket? He says, I don't have a ticket. He told him his story, how that he was too poor to pay. He didn't have any money. But you know, he won the sympathy of the conductor. And the conductor says, I'll see that you get to Chicago even if I have to pay the fare myself. Boys and girls, it was God who loved us. It was God who sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to pay the fare for every boy or girl who gets on the train, as it were, to heaven. Every boy or girl who will come to the Lord Jesus just as he is. You know, you can't make yourself fit for God. Oh, what a lesson that is. But you know, there is an invitation. 1 John 4, I think it's 12 or 17, we read these words. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that I need the Lord Jesus to get to heaven. But it's a more wonderful thing to know that God gave the Lord Jesus that I might get to heaven with him. Oh, thank God for his gift of his Son. And so that boy, he got to Chicago. He got to Chicago safe and sound. The price was paid and his uncle. All boys and girls, how is it with you? Are you saying, well, I'll just stay the way I am just a little longer? I'll stay outside the door? I won't come even though the invitation is sounded. All the Lord Jesus. He welcomes you. He welcomes you. He welcomes me. As a boy, when I was about 12 years old, I was in a test meeting one time. And I was trembling in my seat. I heard that verse at the end of the meeting. For God so loved the world, I saw that God loved me. I saw that he gave the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And that by putting my trust in him, I would be saved. And I left the pet meeting that night, I said,